Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, you may be seated in the name of the Lord. Faith in the will in the faith. If I can draw your attention to Luke 5 and verse 12, says, while Jesus is one of the towns, that a man comes along who's covered with leprosy, and he sees Jesus and fell with his face to the ground and begs Jesus and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I'm willing, be clean. And he immediately, his leprosy left him. Immediately, he was healed. We very rarely talk about the ministry of Jesus. If you're familiar with church or the Bible or any of Christendom, especially modern day Christian perspective, not just denominational, generational perspective, but modern day, we almost never talk about the ministry of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus without talking about the healing power of Christ. We think about him doing miracles. We sang about miracles today. When we think about God being a miracle worker, one of the main things that does come to mind is the healing ministry of Christ, that he healed people's bodies. This story is a story of him healing this man with leprosy. And in a sense, when we even today, even to this day, there are still Christians and believers, myself included, who expect the healing power of church or the healing power of the service or the healing power of the anointing of God as a manifestation of the presence of God. There are people who feel like, well, if God is there, then you ought to be healed. If God is in the building, your body should be healed. If God is in the building, your mind should be healed. If God is in the building, your soul should be healed. Healing is the children's bread. You ever heard that before? I mean, many of us grew up, and I was taught by the modern day leaders of the faith movement, the Kenneth Hagins and the Oral Roberts and the A.A. Allens, guys that ran around with tent revivals healing people, because healing was not just a manifestation of the power, but in a sense, healing kind of proved to people that God was still active, that God was still moving. It was almost, and we have to be careful that we don't look for miracles just for a sign, because we want to see something, because it's a wicked generation that looks for a sign. We have to be careful that our relationship with God is not just based on something that we think we can see tangibly with our eyes, because the same people that saw all of these miracles are the same people that said, crucify him, the exact same people. So yeah, just because you see a miracle don't mean that you're going to have confidence in God forever. As a matter of fact, I would contend that your experience with God has got to be bigger than just stuff that he does for you, if you're really going to know him. But I understand, though, that we do have this expectation for this miracle healing power, particularly within the kingdom of God, and me too. But I just wanted to state in my introductory remarks that we have a tendency to do that without ever asking this question, and I'm going to pose it for our thought today. And it's not even the main point, but I'm just going to pose it. And that is, why was Israel so sick? Why was Israel so sick? Why is Jesus born in a time with so much sickness amongst the people of God? Do you just think, oh, well, it's the ancient world and they're sick all the time, or they don't have good hospitals, or they don't have technology, or they don't have medicine like us? I mean, that's a nice idea, but I would like to submit for your consideration that a part of the reason why the children of Israel were so sick is because they are defeated at this moment. At this point, they're under the hands of the Romans. And the Romans are no joke. The Romans have conquered the world. And as a result of the Romans conquering the world, there's all kinds of travel coming through where they are. They're no longer in control of their own borders. They're no longer in control of their own lives. They're no longer in control. At this moment, they are enslaved. At this moment, their wealth is being transferred to make another nation rich. At this moment, there's foreigners coming through. And when a lot of foreigners come through, it is more likely that you're going to end up with a sickness or end up with a bug or end up with a disease or end up with a something. Because when you're around your people, y'all drink your water and y'all do what you do. And then y'all all have the same immunities. But if somebody comes from someplace else, one of the reasons why sicknesses and plagues are so prevalent is because our world is so small now. There was a time when it took too long to get somewhere. By the time somebody got somewhere, they were either sick or they were either dead or they weren't contagious anymore. Whereas now, if you pick up a virus, you can be in America in less than 10 hours. What I'm saying to you is that I want you to consider for just a moment that the children of Israel are very sick because their walls are down, because they're defeated, because the Romans have come through and the Romans have wrecked their time, their world. They are defeated. There's Roman soldiers. See, we almost don't even think about it. There's a foreign power with an army in their midst. There's a governor. Sure, they've got a king, Herod, but really, Pilate is the one that's over the province. Now, my point, beloved, is as much as we want God to be a healer, and I want him to be a healer, but let's not miss the fact that you need healing even more when you're defeated. That we have to realize that this is a bad time in the history of the people of God. This is not a good time for them. And I want to submit that for all of your considerations, because the way that a lot of us were raised, certainly me, I was raised that Jesus is of this. He's a healer. That's my question. Is Jesus a hammer? Jesus a hammer? I was taught a Christ that he's a hammer, and if you're not a nail, it don't work. He's not going to fit you if you're not a nail, because he's a hammer. This is what he is, that Jesus is a healer. And so people almost come to the service with an expectation of, if he's not healing, maybe he's not in the service. But I got you. I got you. And beloved, right now, we are in a time in which our nation is sick. Our world is sick. Our world is battling a contagion. Our world is battling a sickness. We got masks and all kinds of stuff because there's something we're scared to get. And if you got it, you really don't want to get it again. And so my point is that, no, it's a great time to talk about Jesus being a healer, but I'd also like for us to consider why Israel is so sick and what has gone wrong for us to just need Jesus to be a healer. I want us to be careful that we aren't so stuck on Jesus being a hammer that we can't realize that he's more than just a hammer. I don't know the Jesus you know, but the God I know isn't just a hammer. The God I know, the Jesus I know, is actually a toolbox. There, he is so many things beyond just a hammer. He's so much more than just a healer. He's so much more than just a provider. Broke folk love to talk about how much he's a provider, and praise God for that. But I need him to be more than just a hammer. I need him to be something that is just full. I mean, when I think about my God is so much more than just one tool. My God is, and you know what? There's a hammer in here, but then there's stuff in here that I don't even know what it does. There's things in here that I'm like, ooh, I've never used this before. There's stuff in here because it may just be possible that just because no one else has ever experienced him as, just because your mama knew him to be a hammer don't mean he can't be a ratchet in your life. My God, maybe ratchet is bad. Maybe just because your mama knew him to be a hammer, but I know him to be some wire cutters. What I'm saying is let's be careful not to limit God based on our grandmama's tradition. Whole lot of folk don't want to go to church. College Sunday, whole lot of folk don't want to go to church because all they ever hear is, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion. Old time hammer religion is great, but why did Jesus need to be a healer and a provider? Because the people are sick. Because the people are poor. They're poor because they've been robbed. They're poor. He needs to feed the 5,000 because folk are there and they hungry, and they hungry because stuff's not going good. And beloved, I want us to be able to worship God when stuff's not going good. But I'd also like for us to worship God and not be broke. Can we worship God and not be broke? Can we worship God and have a degree, please? Can we worship God and actually know where our dollar is coming from tomorrow? Are we only going to run and shout when somebody says, I don't know how I'm going to make it? I don't want to only experience God when I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know, it makes me mad. It makes me mad when folk are in church when they broke. Then they get rich. They go out. They're not in the church no more. And then after the music, they're back in church when they broke. I'm like, how about this? Can you be with God in the good times? Can you also be with God in the bad times? But can you be with God in the good times? Don't only serve a God that you can only be with in the worst times of your life. I need a witness in the building. I know I'm not the only one. There's something about Christianity. There's something about the cross. There's something about church that's more appealing when you're scared. Oh, I need a witness. Something about prayer, more appealing when you ain't got no job. Something about prayer. Something happened when you start to get some money. I don't know who I'm talking. Something happened when you start to get some stuff. Something happened when you get your house. All of a sudden, you ain't got time to go to church. Now, when you didn't have no place to live, you lived at the church. Can I get a witness in the building? When you didn't know, when you were scared, when they found the thing and you were like, oh my God, what's that? Oh my Lord, you was at church. But let stuff go too good for you. You got to be careful that stuff don't go too good. And you are so only seeing Jesus as a hammer that you can't see him as a screwdriver. One of the things that caused me to not be as connected to my denomination is they only saw Jesus as a hammer. They only saw Jesus one way. There's only one way to do church. The ushers with the gloves and the nurses' outforms and uniforms and the hand behind the back. And there was all, we can only sing the hymns. We can only do it this one particular way because we're trying to experience God the way he was experienced 50 years ago. But I came to tell somebody this morning that God is bigger than just your grandmama's church experience. Can I get a witness in the building? As a matter of fact, I don't just need God to be a waymaker when I'm broke. I need him to be a waymaker when I got money. Oh, my Lord. I need him to be a way maker. I need favor on my life because there's something I'm about to do that's about to take me from having money to having more money. Who am I talking? I need God to move on my investments. I need God to move. I need God to speak to me and tell me something that will take me from being rich to really, really rich. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the Bible. I'm looking for God to move in such a way that I can say, oh, that was God that did that. Oh, that was the Lord that told me to do that. Oh, that was God that said, buy that, buy that, buy that. Right now, we are in the Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina, if you're watching around the world. And I don't know about you, but when I drive through downtown Durham right now, I'm so mad. I'm so mad. You mad, son? I'm so mad. Because I was here 20 years ago when Durham was a dust bowl. When you went to downtown Durham and there was literally tumbleweeds rolling down. You could have bought a lot for a nickel. You could have tap danced and they'd have gave you a lot. That lot now is worth so much money. If you had a time machine, how much more money would you have if you had had a time machine then? My point is I need God to be serious in my life and more than just one thing. The ministry of Christ, I know. I got you. Is it bothering you? Scared I'm gonna trip? AJ. The ministry of Christ to a sick nation, I'm digressing a little bit, but there's an interesting question that occurs when sickness persists. Right now, how long are we dealing with this COVID thing? We rolling on 2 years now. Now, they talking about another strain, and there's a Delta strain, and there's an American Airlines strain, and there's a Southwest. Well, I got the Southwest strain, and there's this, and ooh, how'd you get it? Well, I leaned on some hair grease. How did you get it? I got it this way. I had a piece of chicken, and the COVID got me. We are rolling into 2 years with this COVID nonsense. Y'all done bought masks to match your outfit. Some of y'all got your initials in your mask, ABC. Y'all, we are rolling into years now of being a nation and a world that is sick. And there's a question that occurs when sickness persists. And the man with the leprosy helps us to see it. The question begins to be, what is the will of God? One of the things that sickness does is it makes you start to say, now God, what is your will? One of the things that happens when there's a sickness that don't just go away, but it's still here. You vaccinated and you still got it. I was vaccinated. My wife was vaccinated. We still got the COVID. I got a friend in Tennessee. He's vaccinated. Him, his wife was vaccinated. They got the COVID. When I caught her, he got it. I was like, oh my God. So I called him and I was like, hey man, how you doing? He was like, man, that COVID boy, man, that thing felt like I was beat with a bat, man. I was achy. I was coughing. I was sick. I had a fever. And I was like, wow, man, how long did it last? He was like, man, about 3 days. I was about 3 days, man. I was down for 2 weeks. I was jealous. I was mad. I hated a little bit. I was just like, what? I asked him, well, which vaccine did you get? I got Pfizer. I was like, oh, man, they must have put some Kool-Aid in my Johnson & Johnson. Because when I got the one I got, and I went to Central because I wanted somebody to black to give me the shot. What I'm saying is, I went to Central, but what I'm saying is, well, what kind of olive oil and fruit juice did they give me? Because I had a fever for 10 days. He ain't talking like it was hard. Ooh, that was tough. I said, how long? 3 days. I almost hung up the phone. 3 days. Get out of here. That ain't no COVID. You got to get out of here. Now we got different experiences. What kind of COVID you had? Please get out of here. My feet was sweating. My hair fell out. We got off. My tooth got loose. Wait. What I'm saying is, what happens when sickness persists? We start to wonder, God, what is your will? It is absolutely possible to never ask about the will of God till you get sick. Ooh, I wish I had a witness. Be laying in the bed saying, Jesus, I was telling God all kinds of stuff. I'll give you 20%. Lord, let me live, Jesus. Lord, if you're just like, Lord, I know you ain't done with me yet. That's when folks start talking about that stuff. Well, God is not finished. God is not finished with me yet. You don't hear folk talking about God not finished with them yet till all hell break loose. We can't be surprised that the man with leprosy questions the will of God, because you get sick enough and you start to wonder, what is God's will? Now, when we talk about the will of God, real quick, I'm running out of time. When we talk about the will of God, there's a couple of ways to look at it. One of the ways to look at it is, what is God doing? What is his plan? What is his intent? I often think about that. God, not just what is your will for my life? Because I think that we made the will of God very personalized. What's your will for my life? No, no, no. Not just what is your will for my life, but what is your will, period? What is God doing? Everybody say, what is God doing? Come on, say it like you mean it. What is God doing? What is God doing right now? So it just like y'all are trying to figure out what industry you should be in. You don't want to pick a degree that's absolutely not a job no more. In the same way, you want to say, okay, well, God, where are you going? What are you doing? It's a question we don't ask a lot. It's a question that can make us uncomfortable, because who can know the mind of God? And we're afraid that God may be going in a direction that's different than what we want him to go. And we can't really tell him because he's God. I think I've been dealing with this for a few weeks now, a few months now, is we have to get over the Holy Ghost hubris that many of us were taught. Like we can just tell God what to do. My daughter was at my house the other day, and it was for my birthday, and we're just there hanging out and having a great time. And then her four-year-old said, I'm ready to go. And I looked at her and said, what? Sit. It's like she's like, sit your little yellow. Ask me no more questions, I'll tell you. Sit your little self over there. Didn't nobody ask your little four-year-old self whether it's time for you to go? Listen, can I say something to you? Your toddler should not dictate your life. Can I just speak that over the whole room in the name of Jesus? All of you who your toddler is in control, the devil is a liar. The way I was raised, your life revolved around your mom and them. Will you take me to practice? We'll see. Practice had to be close. You had to be able to walk to practice, because the chances of your mama, my mama didn't get up to turn the TV. Oh, I wish I had a witness. My mama called me in from outside. This is before remotes. My mama called me in from outside. Turn that channel. She is 3 feet from it, and you bet not have an attitude neither. Drive you to practice. If it fits. My mama, you had to fit within
her schedule. I'll drop you off on my way to work. Well, my practice is done in 2 hours. Well, I don't get off till 8:30. So you're gonna be getting some extra shots up. Well, they close the gym at 6. Sit outside. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. These little 3-year-olds who think they can dictate and walk in and say, I'm ready to go. I almost knocked that little girl out. What I'm saying is, it is out of order for you to allow your child to think that they dictate what you can do when they broke as a joke. Can't pay to flush the toilet one time. In the same way, who are you to tell God what to do? Oh, see, it got quiet now. Who are you to tell the Alpha and the Omega? Who are you to name it, claim it? Who are you? What if what you're trying to get God to do is outside of what he's doing? Is it possible for the Lord to be like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that right now. And then what do you do? Do you throw a tantrum? Do you fuss? Do you kick? Do you be like, saying, I'm not going to church no more because I asked God and he didn't do what I said. Well, you a big spoiled baby. Then the second idea of the will of God is, what is God willing to do for me? What is God willing to do for me? Sure, God is on his way this way. God is doing this. God is doing that. The man with the leprosy runs up to Jesus, falls down on his knees, and begs Jesus and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. For the leper, if you know anything about leprosy, for the leper, they're so shunned. It's such a contagious thing. When you look up leprosy in the Bible, it means all kinds of various skin diseases. So if you in Bible times in Israel at this moment, if you're, you better stay lotioned. Let me tell you what. Because if you are overly dry, they may throw you over there with the lepers because it's just that contagious. They are so conscious of the contagion. I just think it's something that we can relate to. You scared to have an allergy right now. For some of us, your allergies are kicking back up, but you're scared. You're like, you're trying to you sneeze in your hand. You try because a couple of coughs. Can I get a witness? I was on a plane the other day and somebody was coughing and I'm like, why are you on the plane? It's just, maybe they have an allergy. But in a world of sickness that is contagious, you can start to feel shunned. And the leper feels shunned. The lepers are supposed to only live with each other. So for the leper to say, if you're willing, you can make me clean, it means that he's not quite sure if God is willing. And that ought to relate to somebody besides just me, because I know I'm not the only one who has prayed for God to do something, and I wasn't sure if it was his will. Oh, help us all. I know I'm not the only one that said, now, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, remove them. If it's Lord, if you are willing, Lord, if you want to, you can do anything. Lord, if you're willing, you can get me a scholarship. Lord, if you're willing, you can get me a scholarship. Lord, if you're willing, you can make somebody call Duke and say yes and say my name and say that you're going to pay for my in full. Lord, if you're willing, you can make something happen and cancel these student loans. Lord, if you're willing, you can have somebody call. Right now with us, World Overcomers, getting ready to build this building and raising this $15 million, there are times when I'm taking offerings and whatnot, and we made our pledges, and y'all have been pledging, and it's wonderful, but there's a part of me sometimes that's like, Lord, if you're willing, You can say, whatever comes, whatever comes, whatever comes. To Bill Gates, say it, Jesus. Wake him up in the middle of the night. I wish I had a Holy Ghost, get him. I'm sending the Holy Ghost to Bill Gates' house. Holy Ghost, go to his house right now. Holy Ghost, call Tyler Perry. Holy Ghost, call Oprah. Holy Ghost, call the richest person in the world and say, world, come. Lord, if you are willing, I don't have to raise no money. I wish I had a witness in the building. I know when you believe in a God that can do anything, when we're saying our God is, there's nothing's impossible. If nothing's impossible, then why do I have student loans? If nothing is impossible, then why is my car broke down? If nothing is impossible, then why is this teenager about to get killed? If nothing is impossible, then why don't I have a job? Lord, if you're willing. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing, you can get me a man. Lord, if you're willing, you can bring somebody through here. Now, Lord, I know that black man is in jail and black man's is dead and black man's is in a gang. And I know Kevin Samuels done scared us all half to death. But if you are willing, you can bring a big one through here. See, I didn't get no amens on that one. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The question of the willingness of God. That happens when there's sickness. That happens when there's poverty. That happens when there's lack. That happens when we're broke. So what is God doing? What is his will? What is God willing to do for me in the moment? Does that fit his plan? And then there's a third one, C, that I'm going to throw on the screens. And that is, has his will / willingness affected your will? Has the overall plan of God, has the willingness of God to move on your behalf done anything to your will? As a result of the will of God, have you prayed, not my will, but thy will be done? As a result of a miracle from God, have you said, Lord, after the way you made a way for me, there's nothing I won't do out of my gratitude for what you've done for me. What shall I render unto God for all his benefits towards me? Does the willingness of God to put favor on your life affect your will? But then there's another way that I want you to think of it affecting your will, and that is, did it strengthen your will? Because it is hard for God's will to affect you when your will is weak. If you think that you're going to go from being a weak-willed person to strong in the will of God, you got another thing coming. The truth of the matter is, God likes to call people whose will is strong. This is a word for everybody, for all of you in the room and all of you watching around the world who you were considered a strong-willed child. God made you that way because he got something serious for you to do, because God don't use weak-willed people. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. God uses people with a strong will. God will use somebody with a strong will and less talent than somebody who's super talented and will is weak. If you are somebody who you refuse to stay on your back, if you are somebody who refuses to let the world beat you down, if you are somebody who's like, well, why do I have to do that? If you are somebody that you questioned and you wondered and you are always asking and always searching, can I tell you, God likes somebody who got a strong will, because you can't walk with God if your will is weak. It's too easy for life to talk you out of it. It's too easy for circumstances to turn you away from it. It's too easy for difficulty to make you give up on it. You'll never get your miracle with a weak will. You'll never get your breakthrough with a weak will. Because if you're going to get your breakthrough, you have to go through a tough moment. And so what I'm saying to you is, I've come to the understanding that God's will has to strengthen my will. And that's what brings me to Hebrews 11. And I'm down to 5 minutes, and I'll just share a little bit of it. But when Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, if you allow me to take some liberties with it and break it down for you to help you understand it even more. In other words, faith is the manifestation of your invisible will. Faith in the will in the faith. Faith is the thing on the inside that makes you keep going when you don't see no circumstance. Faith is the thing on the inside that makes you keep believing when you have no proof that what you're believing for makes any sense at all. Faith is a will on the inside that says, well, I don't care. I'm not going to give up. Faith is something that speaks to you from your middle. Who am I talking to? Faith is something that speaks to you from your middle that says the God I serve is able to deliver me, and he will. But you know what? Even if he does not, I'll die first before I give up on my dream. I guess I'll just be broke before I give up. I'm trying to tell you, are you trying to get me to go back? Nuh-uh. There is something on the inside of me. Even if I have no proof at all, I still believe that he is able. Who am I talking to in the room? Who am I talking to around the world? Faith is that invisible will. Faith is the substance of the thing that's hoped for. Faith is the evidence of the thing not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because you have to start off with a will that's strong enough to be like, well, I just believe that he exists, and he'll reward me if I'm willful. He'll reward me if I'm diligent. He'll reward me if I don't give up. He'll reward me if I keep trying. He'll reward me if I say I don't care. He'll reward me if I'm earnest. He'll reward me if I keep going. So if you think you're going to punk me, you got another thing coming. You don't know where I'm from. Where I'm from, I ain't no punk. And I will pray till times get better. I will believe till times get better. I will worship God till he turn this thing around. Late in the midnight hour, God will turn this thing around for me. If you think that I'm going to give up just because things are a little tough, you got another thing coming. Who am I talking to? Oh, no, Pastor Andy, no, that's me. That is me. I'm somebody that don't care. So then when I look at Hebrews 11, it makes me understand Hebrews 11 a little bit better, because I realize that Hebrews 11 isn't just the faith chapter. Hebrews 11 is the will chapter. It's about strengthening your will. And I'm totally out of time, but I'm going to give you just a couple of them. I've got seven. Y'all know me. So let me just give you a couple. The first one, he says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Number one, it takes will to understand. It doesn't just take faith. It does, but faith is that invisible will, and it takes will to understand. Understanding takes an invisible will. You have to press to understand. You have to have a willingness to understand. There are folk who will never understand what it's like to be you because they're just not willing. They don't have a will to know what it's like to be where you are. They don't care enough to understand. To gain your understanding, you have to be willing. You're not going to graduate if your will ain't strong. You got to be willing to learn that stuff. You got to be willing to read the boring stuff they make you read. You got to have a strong will. They have that graduation. You march across and we scream your name. It's not just because you're educated, but it's because you stuck it out to make it through. Oh, I wish I had a way. You kept on going. The counselor called you in and told you you was this many credits away. And you were like, what? I I went in to meet with my counselor at the middle of my junior year. Like, all right, I got 3 semesters left. When they looked at my transcript and they told me how much I had to take, it almost can make you give up. Sometimes the thing that keeps you from giving up is just your will. Your will just got to be strong. You're like, well, I'm going to understand this. It takes a will to understand. Number two, by faith, Abel brought God a better sacrifice offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous because it takes the will to sacrifice. Your will has to be strong to sacrifice. Unwilling sacrifice is compulsion. Unwilling sacrifice is compulsion. If your will is right, and if his will has affected your will, and your will is strong, it takes a strong will to sacrifice. It takes a strong will to sacrifice when you've been hurt. It takes a strong will to sacrifice when you have church hurt. It takes a strong will to sacrifice when you have personal hurt. It takes a strong will for you to meet somebody new and be ready to sacrifice for the new person when the last person stomped all over your sacrifice, your will gonna have to be strong. Takes a strong will for you to be willing to sacrifice for the new kid when the last God kid betrayed you. It's gonna take some will for you to sacrifice. You won't sacrifice if your will is weak. You leave your old job and you gave them everything and they let you go. You gave them your all. You got there early and left late and you gave them your all. Now you're at your new job. If you are reserved, the challenge is you'll never grow in that company if you don't give to the new company like you gave to the last company. But it's possible that your experience from the last company has burnt you, and so now you're saving it. Your will gonna have to be strong. Gonna take will for you to be ready to sacrifice. By faith, Enoch, number three, I'll give you one more. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Number three, takes the will for relationship. You won't have relationships without a strong will. You won't do it. The will for relationship is the will to please another, not just yourself. Because pleasing another takes will. To not just satisfy yourself, but to satisfy another's need, that takes will. Ooh, you got to have a strong will to do that. To be in a place in which you realize, okay, I'm going to put this person's needs above mine, and I'm going to do what I need to do to please them and believe that they'll do what they need to do to please me. Woo! That takes some strength. That takes some strength of will. That your will got to be strong to do that. One of the things that's so incredible to me right now about the world that we live in is that everybody's a Rubik's Cube now. Everyone's a Rubik's Cube. It's very interesting. And it's insane the way the world has turned. We're at a point now where it's almost, gentlemen, as if we know how to please ourselves sexually more than we know how to please the woman. Because when you get a woman, you're getting a Rubik's Cube. You have to figure that out. You know what to do for you. Now, do you? It's interesting that we're in a situation where men are so aware of what pleases them physically. And are we aware of what we have to give emotionally and physically in the same way? Women, we're so aware of the sexual aspect of it without being aware of the real need of the person. Everybody is complicated. And if you can find somebody to get all the colors to line up, you done found something special. If you done found somebody that can move you physically and move you emotionally, that's a challenging thing. Because most of us approach relationships only thinking about ourselves and what we can get. It's a very selfish world right now. And beloved, at the end of the day, it's going to take a strong will for you to be able to actually please another. It takes the will. Last one, I'll let you go. Verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Number 4, and I'm done, the will for warning. The will for warning. This is the will chapter. It takes will for you to accept being warned. Ever been on the phone with somebody and you can hear their smoke detector chirping in the background? Ever been in somebody's house and you just hear that? I can't help it. I end up saying to them now, is that your smoke detector? Because every 30 seconds, it's just chirping. There are people who are able to sleep at night while it's chirping. Not me. I got to get a stool, a chair, a ladder, something. We got to change that battery. I can't sleep on the sign that the thing that will protect me from a fire is about to run out of power. But we are living in a world now where certain folk don't even like to be warned. They don't want no smoke detector. They don't want nobody old telling them what could happen. They don't want nobody with gray hair, Andre. They don't want nobody with gray hair telling them something that might happen. They just want to do what they want to do. Their smoke detector is chirping because the battery is dying and they won't change the battery. Because they'd rather just go along with their own generation's perspective and they don't have a strong enough will to be warned. It bothers them too much that you would dare to tell them that maybe they don't know what they're talking about. They just don't like that. They'd rather leave the smoke detector chirping. Only going to go to church butts to so much. They'll go to church if everybody at church tells them how great they are. Ooh, help us, Holy Ghost. Oh, I need a witness in the building. This is what they teach at Church Growth now. They teach that when you walk in the door, the greeters have to compliment you. Ooh, you look nice. Ooh, look, you look cute, because we are fostering a generation of people who only want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. And they only want to go to church if the people like them. But what if you raggedy? But what if stuff ain't right? But what if you're not on the right path? I feel you, boo-boo. But at some point, you're going to have to get your will together to be warned. I know I'm not the only one that wishes I had heeded the warning of somebody old. Can I get a witness in the building? Can somebody say, I wish I had listened to my mama? Can I get a witness? I wish I had listened to my daddy. Oh my God, I wish I had listened to Pastor. I wish I had listened. But I let my smoke detector run out of power. And then the fire came and I got burnt. The word says, by faith, Noah could be warned. It takes a will to keep the lines of communication open so somebody can warn you. It's hard when somebody says, can I talk to you? I don't know if that ever happens. When somebody says, I need to talk to you, and you're like, what you want? I call you. Hey, son, let's get together. I got one of my sons. I'm like, hey, man, I need. As soon as he's like, what's going on? What's up? Is everything okay? Is everything all right? I have to almost lie. Like, yeah, everything's good. Oh, no, I just want to see you. Am I the only one? Folks that was in my life there to confront me, say, I need to meet with you. I'll be like, oh, I'm real busy this week. You're not that busy. You just don't want to hear that mouth. We need to talk. You're like, you don't nobody need to talk. To keep the line, you have to be careful that in your adultness, can't nobody tell you nothing. Because maybe, just maybe, you wouldn't be where you are if you had listened to someone. And it's possible for you to be so closed off to warning that people just stop trying. Oh, I need a witness. They just stop trying. They don't even preach like they used. They don't even preach from the Bible. Everything is just chicken soup for the Christian soul. They don't want to say nothing hard because don't nobody want to hear correction. It takes a strong will to say, can you tell me what's wrong? Quiet it, God. Good businesses want to know, how was your experience? They don't have only good stuff on there. They have excellent, they have poor. Many of us, we wouldn't have poor on there. We would just have excellent, very good, and good. Because we don't want nobody saying poor. And if we saw poor, we'd be like, poor? Why you say poor? Why you check poor? See, this is what's wrong with you. You think everything... Wait. Maybe your service is poor. Ooh, help us, Holy Ghost. But we don't want the smoke detector to work. We want to go to sleep with the carbon monoxide killing us because we don't want to be alerted to the fact that something is wrong. And it takes a strong will to be open to warning. I got three more to share with you, but I'm out of time. If you heard a word from the Lord, put your hands together really quickly. Can I pray for you? Can I just pray for you? Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? I know you can't really touch anybody, but I want to pray for you. I want to pray for somebody. Lord, I pray right now that you'll strengthen our will. Lord, I want to pray right now that you'll be that way maker for us. Lord, I want to pray right now that you'll fill us with the knowledge of your will. Lord, I want to pray right now for someone that's trying to see if you're willing. Are we walking in your will? Are you willing? Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. Lord, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. Lord, if you're willing, you can make a way for me. Lord, if you're willing, you can get me through this. But Lord, I can't walk in your will if my will is weak. And God, I feel it in the room. I feel it in myself. Someone is wondering, do they have the will to make it? God, I pray. God, I pray that we'll have the will to make it, the will to sacrifice, the will to make it through, the will to keep our relationship, the will, God, to heed the warning signs, the will to go get tested, the will to go to the doctor and get the checkup, the will to screen the cancer early. The will. Lord, we know you're a healer, but God, give us a will to face the music. God, help me. Give me a will, God, to be consistent in the tough time. You're so much more than just a hammer. Be the toolbox for somebody in the room. Be the toolbox for somebody watching around the world. Have your way in us right now. In Jesus' name. Work a miracle for somebody right now. Work a miracle for somebody right now. Somebody's in need of a miracle. Lord, we don't want to limit what the miracle is. Favor on us. In the mighty name of Jesus. I add my faith to everyone's around the world. And we pray for breakthrough. In Jesus' name. We all said together, if you receive that, can you put your hands together and bless the Lord? Can I get you to give before you run out the door? Can I get you to download the MyWOCC app? Can I get you to give around the world? This second offering is just us helping everybody to pay on their pledge. It's our building fund, and we're giving to this, and we're trying to raise $15 million, my God. And so we're giving. Can I get you to give? If you need an offering envelope, you can simply raise your hand, and one of the gatekeepers will come to you quickly. If you're watching around the world or even in the room, you take a picture of that QR code right there, you'll be able to give to the work of the kingdom of God. If you haven't made a pledge on our building project, you can see it right there online. It's still available. And you are able to see where we're going. We're on our way. We've got 2 years left on this lease. My God, hallelujah. And we are on our way to our land. And we're about to build this Victory Park, is what I'm calling it, sports complex place. If you haven't made a pledge, you can get a car, you can make a pledge. But we're giving to the work of the kingdom of God. I am determined to have a will to be used by God. For it not just to be about me, but for me to give to something bigger than just myself. So if you need an offering envelope, raise your hand. Gabe was looking for you. Or you can take a picture of that and then push pay. It'll pop up and you can give in that way. One of the easiest ways for you to give is through that. But certainly if you're giving consistently on your pledge, then if we've gotten your pledge, we're reaching out to you. Check your emails, because we're reaching out to you if you've made a pledge to tell you the best way for you to give in that pledge. And you can set up something with your bank. We have all kinds of instructions for you. I don't want to bring an outside company in that's going to take a percentage of the money. We ought to be able to do this together. World Overcomers, we ought to be able to do this together. And so we're coming together and we're giving to the work of the kingdom of God. And I want us to do that. So this second offerings, and we've been taking second offerings since COVID started. But second offerings, if you're watching live stream around the world, you can make a pledge. If you're watching live stream around the world, you can give right now. I'm actually believing, Lord, if you're willing, you can make a millionaire. Give us the whole thing. Lord, if you're willing, you can make us clean. Lord, be willing and we'll be debt free. Lord, if you're willing, you can have them forgive my debt. Lord, if you're willing, you can have them forgive my mortgage. Lord, if you're willing, you can make it so that I have more than enough. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're giving right now, literally around the world, you have an opportunity to give to the work of the kingdom of God. Good seed in the good soil. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have to give. Thank you, Lord God, for this project. Thank you for the building fund. Thank you, Lord, for us just, some of us are giving just in response to the word that we heard. We're giving just in response. We're giving not as a debt we owe, but as a seed we sow. And we sow a seed onto this word that we heard, and we're believing you for a miracle. Have your way in us. We're believing you now. For jobs and better jobs and raises and benefits and bonuses, for our businesses to expand, for our investments to come back stronger. God, we're believing that there's no lack among us. Make us the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, always at the top, never at the bottom. When we graduate, jobs in our fields, bonuses, our own business. Do it, we pray. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes, you can just jump on your feet. And so excited that you came to worship with us today. And we invite you to come again and again and again next Sunday, first Sunday. And I think we got a guest worship leader. We've been having guest worship leaders every week. And just to keep us fresh with worshiping the Lord, I think next Sunday is Todd. And Todd isn't even really a guest. He's somebody coming back who used to be with us for a while, and that's going to be awesome. And I'll be here, share a word with you. And Wednesday nights, we're still sharing. Don't run, don't run. Just stand. Just stand to your feet. Let the gatekeepers collect everything before you go. Let me pray a dismissal prayer for you, over you, really quickly. Anybody hear a word from the Lord today? Anybody hear a word from the Lord? Anybody hear a word from the Lord around the world? Heard a word from the Lord? Will in the faith, faith in the will. If I have faith in the will of God, I find there's a will in that faith. God makes me willing. Lord, just thank you for our time together. Thank you for this moment. And God, we pray that you watch over us and keep us, for all of us in the room as we leave and go home. Cover us with your blood. For those of us that are already home or in our cars or on our phones or in our movie rooms or whatever, God, we pray that your glory would be revealed in us. Thank you, God, right now that your power is on our side for good. We're on your side. You're on our side. So, God, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. And so we ask you to bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give them peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, until we're able to meet together again, in Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.